All right. You're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN LPFM Radio 106.9 Salida, or streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.givemesometruth.info. And my guest this evening is Sherry Edwards. And Sherry Edwards is a pioneer in the study of human bioacoustic biology. Her 30 years of research is being used at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology in Albany, Ohio. Currently, Edwards and her team at Sound Health are using human voice and the associated frequencies to help clients resolve health issues such as macular degeneration, multiple sclerosis, headaches, muscle stress, brain trauma, weight issues, and nutritional concerns. The technology she brings to the stage is cutting edge. This technology can identify health and well-being possibilities that you have never encountered. Sherry Edwards' work is now included in the Duke University Encyclopedia of New Medicine by Leonard A. Wisniewski and the Scientific Basis of Integrative Medicine by Lucy Anderson. The effects of bioacoustic biology, now accepted by these prestigious medical encyclopedias, have unlimited health and wellness potential. And according to Edwards, bioacoustic voice spectral analysis can detect hidden or underlying stresses in the body that are expressed as disease. The vocal print can identify toxins, pathogens, and nutritional supplements that are too low or too high. In addition, vocal print can be used to match the most compatible treatment remedy to each client. The introduction of the proper low-frequency sound to the body, indicated through voice analysis, has been shown to control pain, body temperature, heart rhythm, and blood pressure. It has also been shown to regenerate body tissue and alleviate the symptoms of many diseases, in some cases even those considered to be incurable. Hi, Sherry, and I want to introduce you to my audience here and let you add anything to that intro.
Thanks, Mel. It's great to be here. I think one of the things that I want to make sure people know is I feel like this is an ancient idea, and we've just computerized it so people in this modern world can use it.
Well, you know, I got to hear you maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and you were, I think I caught you possibly on Dr. Deagle's program. You used to come on that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And once, when I first heard you, I'm going, you know, I've really been looking for this type of healing process, because I really felt the way they were going after herbs and other treatments, this seemed to be where if I was going to be in the medical arena, this would have been where I would have been focusing. And I think that maybe that is where the powers that be are focusing now, is whether the general public gets to get their hands on it as easily without somebody like you out there. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, we intend to take it to the general public. As a matter of fact, we intend to give your audience some free software if they would accept that. And I think energy, it's really energy medicine, frequency medicine, sound medicine. And it's about a mother singing to her child. It's about didgeridoos. It's about song and rhythm and dance and color and everything energy about the body, which is our very personal domain, and the government doesn't have any right to be jumping into it, although they're trying to control just about every aspect of what we think and do.
Okay, then when you said we, then you meant you and the people that you work with, not necessarily so much the medical establishment, or am I incorrect?
Well, it's just our cadre of bioacoustic biologists, practitioners around the world. And we are the center of that in Albany, Ohio, the home office, but we have people working around the world. And it's we also, as a network, what we call the Guardian Party, and we want to deal with health for the people by the people. When we're looking at frequency medicine, how do you get the idea of frequencies from a body? I mean, they can look at x-rays or MRIs or laying on of hands healings or Tai Chi is a form of energy movement, and acupuncture is a form of energy movement within the body. Mm-hmm. So we found a way to measure the energy system, to look at the frequencies of the brain through the vocal print, and then how those frequencies interact with the neural network. And the things that we've been able to do was just, you know, set you down in front of a computer, put a microphone in front of your face, evaluate the frequencies coming out of your voice, and we have discovered a matrix of sounds. Just like there's sour notes in a song, there's sour notes in your vocal print. Like in listening to your vocal print, I can tell there's some issues with your liver, and I think it's coming from a thyroid imbalance. But we can take your vocal print and we can verify that. I can guess, and that's very intuitive and esoteric. But when we get the computer to do it, and here it is, here's the numbers, and we come up with exact correlations to somebody else that has thyroid issues, then we know we're on the right track. And so we've been able to put about 50 computer programs together for people. Last year, we gave away one that would tell people if they were exposed to the swine flu and what to do about it nutritionally. We also gave away post-traumatic stress disorder for the wounded soldiers that were coming back and committing suicide at very high rates. This year, we're giving away radiation exposure, and we've already given away Parkinson's. We will be giving away the swine flu computer program when the season comes up, because I think the government is just flat out brainwashing people about things that we're all going to die if we don't get the swine flu shot, if we don't get this vaccination. And they're trying to intimidate people into getting these shots and say, okay, you can't have health care anymore if you don't get this shot. I just get this brainwashing is absolutely outrageous, the conflicting information that we're getting. And with that conflict, people are just sort of going into brain fog. They don't know what to think. And then we've got some people who are, I don't know, playing both sides against the middle. I just listened to something the other day, a lady that was trying to preach against phosgene, which is in chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a background noise on that video. And I took apart the background noise, and she was projecting the frequencies for phosgene in her speech as a background noise. So whose side is she on?
So what did you decide by what whose side she was on, or was she just picking that up and transmitting it without even knowing it?
Oh, it was mechanical in the background. It had to be deliberate. So here she's being all gung-ho and she's against chemtrails, but at the same time, anybody who listens to her speak about it is going to get a dose of the phosgene.
Well, that's interesting.
So we've got such conflict going on. And I think people, you know, we just did a big project on people watching TV. Boy, that was an eye-opener. Maybe if we have time, we can talk about that.
Okay, that'd be great. But did you notice that the Skype had really did something weird there? I don't usually have that happen so often, but I was just curious if you'd noticed it or not.
I didn't notice anything.
You were coming through and it was really distorted. It's actually been pretty good for me lately when I've been doing my broadcast. But go ahead and carry on. But before you get too far, though, I do want you to kind of give a little bit of a background on how you had got into this work, because you actually were you not born with this, an ability to to analyze vocal voices before you even got into utilizing a computer with that ability?
Absolutely, and I didn't know it was anything unusual. I think part of it came from me being raised in Appalachia, and I was raised in a corn crib, no electricity, no running water. You know, my friends were the trees and the chickens. So there really wasn't any kind of mechanical interference that would squash or dampen my hearing. And I was hearing sounds from everything, and sometimes even words. We were just Scrabble farmers, and I told my dad one day, carrots said it's okay to pick them in the morning. He said, what? And I said, they're ready. They're ready to come up out of the ground. And so it was just weird things like that happened. And when people would have a headache or I could stop blood by singing to somebody. But that was kind of a folk kind of thing up in the hills. And I didn't know that everybody couldn't do that. So when I grew up, they've tested my hearing, and I have a bone that's too tightly wound in the ear. So it allows me to hear ranges of sound that other humans don't, kind of like a dog whistle. You don't hear a dog whistle, but your brain registers it. And the other thing that happened when I was about 5 is I had a near-drowning experience, and there is an organ in your ear, and in humans it's dormant, called a sacculus. But mine happens to be active, and it's sort of an echolocation kind of thing that dolphins use. So I think those two things together allowed me to be able to do this, but I still didn't know it was different from anyone else. And not until I grew up and was in school, and I have to say I cheated in school, because if I wanted to know the answer to something, I would just ask the teacher about, okay, this question number 32, and he would be thinking the answer, and so I could get the answer right. But I just thought everybody could do that.
So you could hear his thoughts. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and sometimes verbatim in a sentence I can hear people's thoughts. But I can't do it on demand, so it's something that is just kind of innate and in there. I remember my husband was giving me a neck massage once, and he was sitting on my back, and I was laying across the bed, and I felt his neck turn, and he looked at a book, and I could read the sentence through his eyes. It's like we became the same frequency patterns, and our brains were the same. That made me very curious, and so we started doing some research on these sounds. Do you hear this very scratchy background?
No, I do know that there's a little teeny thing from the recording equipment, but I don't hear a scratch.
Maybe it's just me. Okay. So we decided to do this research project and find out what would happen if I did a sound for somebody, because my voice also has very unusual properties. And this is some of Albert Tomatis' work, and he's dead now, but he says, you can't speak what you can't hear. And by the same corollary, what you hear, you can speak. So the odd things I hear, my voice is odd in its harmonics. So I was doing a sound for somebody, and in this lab we were testing our brain waves and our heart rhythms. And with the sound, with the beat rhythm of the sound, came a synchronization of our hearts and our brain to 3 decimal points. That's totally impossible. We might as well have been the same person. And I think that's how some psychic ability and intuition happens, when you just match your sounds somehow to the other person. You're so compatible with that person's energy that you become one ball of energy, even though it's 2 separate bodies. So we've gone on to look at that many times. It's like the heart math people. They say if you can integrate the rhythm of your heart and the synchronicity of the frequencies of the body, then the body just takes on a life of its own. And, well, it has it anyway. That's a dumb thing to say. But it just heals itself. And so that's what we're finding when we give people the sound. If they have macular degeneration and we look at their vocal print, and, okay, this, and this frequency that's associated with the eyes is stressed. And so we give them back that frequency, much like a low background noise, and it makes the brain entrain, and it makes the body heal itself.
Okay, so now does this tie in some with, like, Rife technology?
It does, somewhat, in that it's both frequency, but Rife uses very, very high frequencies into kilohertz, where we use frequencies from 0 to 64 cycles per second, and one of Rife's things was killing pathogens, and those very high frequencies shake loose the cell membrane of the pathogens and allow the body's killer cells to come in and devour the pathogen. It just sort of helps kill it off. What we're looking for in brainwaves is, can we call up leukotrienes and anything that's the immune system and get it to march out and do something? So we're sort of doing this from the inside out. It's not us doing it. We're just supplying some support to whatever is going on. And then the brain picks up the frequencies that it should have had and didn't, or it deletes the frequencies that are too high and it shouldn't have, so that the body goes back into stasis, into this optimal form and function, which I think is exactly what we have been doing as a humanity for hundreds of thousands of years, in singing to each other, in talking to each other. And there's an otoacoustic emission comes out of the ear. And if you listen real close, it's like a high-pitched sound. And it sounds like millions of tree frogs off in a distance. And some people describe it as angels singing. And if you can train yourself to listen to that sound, that's the body trying to heal itself. But I think with all of this extra electricity and noise, we sometimes can't hear that sound as well, so the body can't self-heal.
So when you keep all the sound and you run around with these iPods in your ears and TVs on and things like that, then we're less likely to focus inward, and this is what your meditations and things of that are designed to do, is to get us to listen to it ourselves internally.
A perfect description.
So I have a friend that he's kind of a, well, friend of a friend that's kind of a world known for cochlear implants. And I could just see, I would love to know more what he does, and I haven't been able to talk him into doing an interview yet, but the idea of just in the robotic arena or you know, just in the healing process, I just see this as just so fantastic. And yet, what I see what they're doing with sound as a weaponry, it makes me wonder if they haven't already figured this all out, and now the powers that be have decided that they can do more with, you know, destroying the human health condition than to help it. I mean, because by all the new inventions are things to distract from that.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'll give you a couple of examples, and then hope. When we did the study on HDTVs, and we did it over ages and over sexes, we did kids, we did adults, we did males and females, the consistency was that if you had F sharp in your voice, it reduced it. And if you didn't have D, it increased it tremendously. Or even if you had those, it manipulated them. And the note of F sharp is the balance between perception and action, and it's also the ability for males to produce sperm. It's low back. And the note of D that's increased makes people more compliant. And this was consistent, absolutely consistent. So in my mind, was it deliberate? The old TVs didn't have that, and computer monitors don't have it. But HDTV comes out with this way to control male sperm to make you more compliant, and make it kind of go into a brain fog where you really don't know what to do next. Is that deliberate? I hope not, but I'm very concerned that it is. Now, what can we do about it? People don't need anything that I have by way of software or anything else. If they could teach themselves to listen to the sound in their ears. It's described in some of the Sufi literature. It's called the sound of silence or the signature sound. I've gone to Machu Picchu and they have a spot there where you can set and a whole valley reverberates your sound back to you. And it would be much like the dolphins that scan you and send you your sounds back. So here is this signature sound, and it's coming out of your ear. And I think that is the signal that we give off to other people, and they decide whether they like our energy or not. And I think the interruptions in that sound also give us meaning. But if we could learn to actively listen to those signature sounds, they're perfect for you every moment. And there's an article, and I'll send it to you so you can post it if you do things like that. It's called, If You Can Moan, You Can Tone. And it's a great deep meditation. It allows you to astral out of your body if people believe in those kinds of things. And even if they don't believe, it happens. It puts you in a meditation. It gives you a great night's sleep. It helps you solve your problems. It's easy. It's quick.
So this is what the Om is about?
It could be, but not necessarily. Not everybody has that Om. And my note right now as I'm listening in my ears is a C sharp. And C sharp is about truth and honesty and courage, but stubbornness. And it's also about tendons and ligaments and the bowel. And I've been having a little bit of bowel issue lately, just today. And C sharp is also part of the reproductive system for females. So we've put all of these correlations into this software so we can say, okay, your C-sharp is in stress today. Like today you have a lot of A and it's all emotional. And the note of A deals with spirituality. It deals with the eyes. It deals with the ability to manage from a higher perspective, seeing out there, if I do this, that will happen. And the tightest talent you have about that is things physical. If I do this, how will this fit with that? And your whole personality, even though I don't know you, from what I just did was, I want to think about that. No, I want to feel about that. I don't want to think about it. Well, logically it's this way, but in my gut I feel this. So that's your modus operandi, and we can look at that for anybody, from Obama to Gaddafi. We predicted the first week that Gaddafi would not give up. He didn't want to be seen as weak, and he was going to stand and fight. We have been able to look and predict Trump's only in it temporarily. This is happening here, and this is going to happen there. And when you look at Obama and what he said about bin Laden, it was just a big story. It was just fantasy. So we are going to offer people a computer program and a class and a little textbook where they can go look at the people they're listening to on the radio or on the internet or interviews. They can listen to people on the telephone, their partners. They can listen to potential employees or potential dates. And it's called Nano Voice, N-A-N-O, Voice. And you can download it at Nano Voice. Excuse me. NanoVoice.org. And there's a little chart there that tells you what each of the notes mean and instructions. I'm going to cough again. Do you want to blank something out?
Oh, no, you're fine.
We want everybody to be able to have this little personality profiler. You can also look at it by way of what weight issues you have, because when you look at neurotransmitters, people can use it to see if they're allergic to something. And we don't ask your name. We don't ask your email address. We don't ask anything. This is for the people. People need this because we have been so overrun with lies. And people can lie with their words, but they can't lie with the frequencies of their voice. We have posted lots and lots of profiles for people. I think the latest ones we just posted were of Prince William and his new wife, Kate, and why that marriage will last. And it will last because Kate's vocal print, a vocal profile, is almost identical to Princess Diana. That's who he's looking for. So you can match people's compatibilities with also.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Princess Diana didn't stay with her husband.
Well, when we did an evaluation of his voice, one, he's a wimp, and I didn't expect that. And in the beginning, he really wanted it to work, but you have Camilla there that was really pushing. And right now, from her vocal prints, she's pushing to at least be queen for a day or so. So I would predict that the queen will allow Prince Charles to be king for a very short period of time, and then it's going to be turned over to William and Kate.
There are so many aspects that I can see where this is so useful, and I cannot even imagine that our government hasn't even taken this and have it and utilizing it to a high extent right now. Although, I see where when you have these lie detector tests, what some of the technology they're using is just very, very antiquated, and they continue to keep using it and leaving us with this illusion that it may or may not work when they probably have this, what you're utilizing right now. What do you think?
If I was working with them, I couldn't tell you about it.
Well, I didn't say you were working with them. Because I would figure we wouldn't be hearing about it then.
Well, there's certain aspects of it. For instance, our new program now, we can take sentence by sentence and tell you whether or not that person is telling the truth, what their intention is, where it's holding stress in their body, and really where they're going with it. We have so many things about, let's just take Obama for one. In looking at some of the things that he has said about Gabby Giffords, he is totally telling the truth. He is emotional. He is caring. But when he begins to talk about what that was really like, and you compare it with the Arizona sheriff that was involved in the Gabby Giffords thing, you soon begin to see from the vocal print that she was not the target. It was the judge that was the target.
A number of us have suspected that one, but what about the Loeffner person? What did you get out of that?
I don't know who the Loeffner person is.
No, Loeffner, Jared Loeffner, the one that was supposedly involved in the shooting. Did you do a look at his vocal print?
I never was able to find any video of him to take a print.
I see.
So,
okay.
I have to have that piece first. Uh-huh. We've done things like that. That kid who killed all those people at the Virginia Tech, and if there's something on the news about it, then we can get it and look at it. And looking at Manning's case, I really would like to look at Manning, Bradley Manning, but there's just no video of him anywhere. There was a video of P.J. Crowley, who was Hillary's underling, that he stood up and said, "This is ridiculous, what's happening to Manning, it needs to stop," and they fired him. And he was absolutely telling the truth. It was disappointing and beneath the U.S., and it shouldn't be done that way. And also Assange is telling the truth, and Assange's lawyer is telling the truth about WikiLeaks. So the fact that Hillary's going to stand up and say we need to just kill him as a traitor, I mean, that was outrageous. He must have totally embarrassed her. And I think that's where some of the things are speeding up, because all of that information is coming out. And these other countries are being able to look at how duplicitous the United States is. In my opinion, the United States has bullied the world, and now it's trying to bully its own citizens. I was absolutely appalled at what went on in Texas yesterday. Texas just ought to secede from the nation and call their bluff and get it over with. Because it's going to happen. Some state's going to stand up and say, well, I'm not taking this. I'm not letting you run over my people like this. And people, if they can get their head out of the sand from all of this cognitive dissonance that the government is creating, whether it's by HARP or by radiation poisoning or GMO poisoning or water fluoride poisoning, I just think we're being kept in a state of mental turmoil, so we don't know what to believe, where to go, or what loop to jump through.
So while you're talking about the fluoride or radiation, I wouldn't mind touching upon those particular issues, because I mean, it certainly is, in our environment, let alone the spraying of our skies, and wondering what that's all about. Where are you with, do you have any comments on those, what's going on there, or?
Well, I have a well, so I don't have to drink their water. But, you know, putting fluoride in water is a trick that Hitler did to keep people infertile and dumbed down. So they come over here and they do it in the U.S. What do they think? And they've even, reports back now show that fluoride's not even good for your teeth. It's not helping at all. And you have such conflict in aspartame's good, aspartame's bad, GMOs are good, GMOs are bad. Corexit is bad. No, it's not bad anymore. The water's clear. The water's not clear. With that kind of opposition and polar opposites, there's got to be something going on. That many people cannot be wrong. And I would like to err on the side of being safe. Every good strategist has a backup plan. You know, and we try to stop Codex, and we try to stop that S510, and we try to get labeling on GMOs, and it's just useless to go up against these people. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to trump up something, or you're just going to disappear somewhere. You see this online all the time. And the stuff with the TSA and all of that research being fraud and people coming out and whistleblowers, and whistleblowers disappear. But with what is going on, my backup plan is something called the Guardian Network. It's a group of people, and we meet once a month. We've been meeting now for 13 months, and every month we share a software and a class so that people can go out to their communities and help people with this alternative system of health so we don't have to be involved in Obamacare. The first one we did was the flu season. We wanted people to not feel so threatened by what the government was saying. So we sat people down in front of a computer, taught them to take a vocal print, only takes 30 seconds, so they can tell whether they've been exposed to any kind of flu, and if they have, how to stop it. What are the antidotes, nutritionally and by way of frequencies, that they could provide to themselves and to their community in hopes of not allowing this to take hold? We've done the same thing this year with radiation, and there is a gentleman named Richard Olson. I wish he could be on the show with us. He has been incredible in putting himself out there as a guinea pig. He lives in Northern California, and he's one of about a little less than 20 people who are giving us information. So what have you heard about radiation? Is it safe? Is it not?
Well, my gut feeling is if you don't have some way to ward it off or deal with it, I could see that it could be a major problem. But they've certainly confused me to the point, because there's so many different types, there's so many different ways of working with it. But I'll tell you, I would rather not be around it if I didn't have to be, although I know it's natural in nature in certain respect as well. But the radiation that I think we're being exposed to isn't necessarily a natural radiation.
Right, it's just totally artificial, and even in Japan, and I'm looking for a chart right now if you hear papers rattling in the background, they are telling people in Japan that there's absolutely no problem. And when Obama did a presentation to the people here, he said, nobody should be involved. Nobody should have a problem with it. So here we are with about four practitioners in Japan. They were sending us the reports that were coming out. Then we're looking at people in northern, northwestern California. And within 12 hours, what had come out in Japan ended up showing up in the vocal prints of more than a dozen people in northern California, above San Francisco. Now, you can look at the winds. What do they call those?
Jet stream.
You can look at the jet stream and see where, directly from Japan, it's moving right in over that northern spot in California. And it correlated. If our people in Japan said strontium was high today, within 12 hours, you could see strontium in a group of people in northern California. So we began to look at this mathematically and bioacoustically. Now, we have not run any tests in the laboratory. We don't have a way to run something in the laboratory because we don't have any of these isotopes that would allow us to do studies with that. And we don't have the money to do it anyway. So we began to correlate all of this data just by looking at what was showing up in the people's vocal print.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, it correlated. And for strontium, the antidote nutritionally is ATP. And I wish I could find this chart. I will supply it to you. Mm-hmm. ATP is adenosine triphosphate. And you can buy it at your health food store. A good health food store. Get a good copy of it. A good source of it. I'm looking for a copy of this chart here. And if we look at this by way of frequencies and what is an antidote, thing that we have already proven in the lab, like if you have high this, we can give you this and bring it down by way of frequency, we were able to take strontium out of people's vocal print by using ATP. Now, I want to do a little aside here about ATP. ATP is the first chemical that happens to humans when conception takes place. It's what causes the cell division to do what it ought to do. So it's a very powerful.
Is that part of the Krebs cycle, if I recall? Am I off base here?
Well, ADP and ATP. Yeah,
okay.
They're both part of the Krebs cycle.
Okay.
But it's part of the renewal of life and the energy of life.
Okay.
So this strontium 90, it competes with something called inositol in the body. And that inositol allows you to use choline and allows your brain to do what it ought to do. So we have mathematically put all of this together in a chart, and we have been able to show absolutely that ATP will take strontium out of your voice. Does it take it out of your body? We don't know the answer to that, except if we extrapolate backwards and say, okay, if we give you the antidote to Epstein-Barr, does the Epstein-Barr die down? Yes. If we give you the antidote to iron, does iron reduce in your body? Yes, it does. So by extrapolating this of what we've already done and using it for something we don't have our hands on to work with, because nobody would let us work with strontium 90 anyway. Hold on 1 second, please.
Okay.
Sorry. But then we took the frequency of ATP. And we gave it to people, and that reduced the strontium from their voice. It reduced the iodine from their voice. It reduced the cesium. We think that we're able now with frequency to reduce whatever they're going to send at us. Think about that. We don't have to be fearful anymore about anything flu season, or ricin, or harp, or poison, or corrected, or whatever. If we can provide the antidote, stick a speaker out your window and this is what they're doing in California, and play these frequencies for people. And it, I mean, it's very wide hearing.
I can see, just see the movie of Close Encounters right now where the ship comes up playing these tones. I don't know why. That just crossed my mind when you're speaking of that. But in other words, when we're, you know, so often, I mean, it's not incorrect at all as on the vocal quality is how we interpret again. You said this earlier, but, yeah, I mean, again, it isn't necessarily the herb or which that herb has the frequency, but if we have these frequencies in sound, I mean, it's almost sounds like it's the equivalent of food in a sense.
It is. The food has frequencies to it also. For me, that's why people pray over their food, to change the frequency of it to be compatible with them. I don't ever let anybody pray on my food. But you bring up so much information. Sound is frequency. Frequency is universal. This is how we came together. If you consider the Big Bang Theory, and everything began to move, and movement causes frequency. Our musical scales are based on the movements of the planets. That's why music sounds so familiar to us. And when you look at that universal language, and I'm talking about star systems universal language, if you can take a frequency and play it as music and sound, it's recognizable between villages, between countries. Music is that universal language. Well, actually, math is a universal language, but math is how we express frequency, how in theory, and how we express it in our emotions is song. So when you're looking at the idea of herbs usually have a chord. And here's a secret that's going to come out on your show here. When you have a, Queen's Anne's lace, wild carrots, when you look at the frequencies in the carrot and the colors, it all is a chord of music that goes to chord.
Sherry, interestingly enough, when you said secret, the Skype decided to garble.
Is it sounding like I'm underwater?
Yeah.
So this is a secret about man-made medication. So here is Queen Anne's lace, wild carrots. You've probably seen them in fields with this white, beautiful flower on the top. Now, I don't know what they use Queen Anne's lace for, or carrots, or what's in there. But there probably is a medication that is duplicating that, like Digitalis from foxglove. So if it's really foxglove, the whole herb, it has this whole chord of frequencies that fit together so well and so harmonically. Yet if they're going to build artificial Digitalis and you look at the frequencies, you can tell the man-made product because it's not any kind of compatible chord of music.
Well, that you're familiar with the Modo's work with water, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, I mean, it all just seems to just fall right into place. How the sound, now the light and the color, when you study herbs, and the shape of the herb, you know, tells you a lot how it what it works with the body, and so I just. Unfortunately, I don't know. Do you utilize frequency around the herbs or plants? Have you worked with those?
Absolutely, we have. But could I add one more point about
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Things? Go ahead.
When you look at the common cold, that it has a very harmonic balance to it. But when you look at something like these flus and influenzas that are coming out, the bird flu and the swine flu, you can tell by the numbers that they were man-made. That is unforgivable.
But the cold has a That amazes me, is the part about the cold is actually, even though it isn't, it's a body's natural response, but what makes it different between the body's natural response and the what's causing these flus? Where's the differentiation there? Am I making sense?
Somebody's creating them. We've got some Frankenstein in a lab somewhere creating new kinds of flus and bird flus, swine flus, to put out on the people every year. To frighten them into getting vaccinations, maybe. I don't want to be paranoid, but the more I study, the more I see that money is the bottom line here. They can control people with these vaccinations and control fertility. I think that's where they're going. And I don't know who they is either. It's not Obama. It's not Bernanke. I have not got to the source of who's pulling these strings. So people kept saying it's the Fed. I went in and looked at Bernanke's voice. He's not the guy in control.
Well, I didn't think he was the guy in control, but he certainly has enough control that I would, if I was going to convict anybody, I would want to throw him in with the guys at the top. But
yes. So we work with the sounds of frequencies of herbs and oils and foods. Everything gets into your body and organized by a frequency. When you hear something, your ear changes it into mechanical energy. Anywhere from 14 up to about 20,000 cycles per second you can hear. Now it starts to hurt after 12,000 cycles, but your ear changes that into electrical chemical energy, sends it into the brain, and the brain says, receive something in that range. I'm going to interpret that as auditory input. The same with sight, only it's cycles per second way high. In light, 380 trillion cycles per second to 750 trillion cycles per second. And those are the octaves of light. So your eye receives the light, changes it into electrical chemical energy, sends it to the brain. It's in that octave. I'll interpret it this way. And we have been able to look at all of the octaves of the brain to see what system they're relating to. We use hearing most of the time and sounds that people can hear. And if you interpreted Rife's stuff, he uses these kilohertz. So he uses light in the same way that we're using sound. So he uses a visual response in light and frequency, but we're using an auditory response and in frequency. But it's all frequency. Everything on the planet is frequency.
Okay, then when you touch something, is that frequency?
Yes, kinetic energy.
Okay.
When your heart beats, that's 3 cycles per second. That's kinetic energy. And if you can get someone to entrain to any multiple of 3 cycles per second, you can put their heart back into rhythm. So 3, you can't hear it. 6, you can't hear it. 12, you can't hear it. 24, you can hear it. So if you can get somebody to entrain to 24 cycles per second, like if you pluck one note on the piano, the other notes begin to vibrate. If you can get them to entrain to 24 cycles per second, the heart goes back into rhythm. We were asked to help with a cosmonaut that had an irregular heart. And so we sent him the information, and by the time he was back down here, he had no irregular heart. They had everything on the shuttle to sort of improvise a frequency generator, and were able to help him. Think of this in terms of traveling to other planets or being off someplace. Frequency medicine. So you got a microphone, goes to a satellite, comes back to here, says blah, 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 this is what they need, send the frequency back, done. Think about that. Wounded warriors would be one that you could look at. Or space travel. Keeping people healthy using frequency. And with this radiation stuff I was talking about, we want to set up an early warning system. No. If we can get some volunteers on Sarah Vocal Print, we could say, okay, San Francisco has been bombarded with iodine. Here you go.
Okay, I just had something. It just went out my That'll come to me again probably about the time you start talking. But this whole idea about the radiation, my feeling is that there probably is a way for us to ward off radiation, and they've already figured that out. And that's what you're saying with these different isotopes. But obviously, we have to isolate the different isotopes then.
Well, we can do it by frequency. Okay. Because one has a different frequency.
Okay.
And so we just look at the voice, and there's a certain architecture that comes with being bombarded with a radioactive isotope. We call it a trauma spike, and it has a certain look to it when we look at your graph, so we can tell, okay, that's a toxin. And so this is how we're going to antidote the toxin. Think about thousands of people out there every day putting all their data into a database, and okay, here's influenza A coming to Lubbock, Texas, and here's your antidote. And every day you could check on that. Do you think your people would want copies of our radiation exposure software?
I would certainly hope so. I would love to have some.
Okay, we would like to give away some copies of this, of the software. There's a whole explanation on our website called soundhealthoptions.com. Now, we'll give them the program if they'll give us back some data. And there is a registration, but that goes to another company. That's not us. It's $20 to register. This software is $300 that we're giving away to people. So just go on and look at how to do it on our website. It actually requires three or four programs. So you can read it there. Some of them are free on the Internet. Some of them require the $20 registration. You have to have a microphone. And so there's a little reference, a little link over to Amazon, this kind of microphone. It is being bought at Radio Shack probably, or I've seen them at Walmart. And you have to have some kind of Excel or number crunching program on your computer. But we have a free class online on demand. We have a free textbook for them and the radiation software. And we want people to get involved. There's a blog there that they can talk to us. So just go read what that's about, because I think we're just being raped and lied to about, oh, that didn't happen. When we can see it in people's voices and we can correlate it to what's coming out, what's reportedly coming out of Japan. And especially if you look at, okay, here's Obama announcing there's no problem, and he's clearly not telling the truth.
Okay, what about the people that are speaking from some of the scientists or whatever speaking from Fukushima? Have you gotten their voice print?
We have on some of them. Mike Adams has been running a series. You know who he is from National
right.
News?
Yes, yes.
He is saying that they're lying to us, and yes, they are. And there's a couple of people over there that are even lying. There's one person who's announcing that America planted a bomb under Japan. And that guy is just a nutball. That really didn't happen. So we've posted these under weird on our website so people can go in and look at what somebody's unbalanced vocal print really looks like, or what a fantasy vocal print really looks like.
Okay.
And don't take my word for it. You know, let the computer speak. You punch a button and it gives you the report.
Okay, so you're doing some kind of training for people so that they can learn to utilize this kind of software. Is that correct? And where you're able to do it, you know, just pretty much on your natural ability. And we should be able to do it with natural ability. But the computer can do this without us having to be training our ears. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
This is really Star Trek medicine. Are you a Trekkie fan?
I watched it a little. I didn't get, it was right in my years I was out doing other things.
Well, they have this little thing called a tricorder, and somebody broke a bone and they could run it up and down somebody's arm and the broken bone was healed. Well, we know the frequencies. We can't do it quite that fast in minutes. We can certainly accelerate the healing rate using frequency. So this is like Star Trek medicine. And because this is so removed from what people can believe, we had a hard time training people, not training them. We had a hard time getting them involved. They wanted us to do it for them. You know, and we are just snowed under with appointments of people who are just, you know, dying. So we wanted to train people to do it for themselves. I guess this is just selfishness on my part. I figured if I trained them, then I'd have less work to do. So we started out with this tiny little program called the Nano Voice that we were giving people for free. That convinced them, one, they had to buy a mic, so they got their mic ready to go. But it convinced them that the information about them was in their voice. And they could see themselves in the printout. Punch a few buttons and get a printout of what your voice is really like. The next thing we started people doing was giving away the software. And I think the first one we gave away was the post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. We had done a project for the U.S. Army on traumatic brain injury. And as an aside, all this stuff with PTSD came up and all these guys coming back with suicides. And we found 8 things that were consistent with PTSD. They were all nutritional. And if we could help them identify those and get that back into their diet, then a lot of these people straightened up. And the first level was niacin, calcium, linoleic acid, and zinc. Niacin, calcium, linoleic acid, and zinc. And if there wasn't a relationship there, it was on the second level of choline, progesterone, B5, and magnesium. Magnesium, B5, choline, and progesterone.
And I find that interesting.
That is such valuable information. We will put the class on how to do this on YouTube. And it's there. I think it's an hour class to teach them to do the software. And we gave away the software to anybody that was a soldier or a soldier's family. And we wanted to be able to help. So we trained people that way. Then when the new flu season came in and they were threatening us, we're all going to die if you don't get your flu shot. And we knew they were lying. We tested Obama's voice. We tested Barbara Lowe Fisher, who's head of the National Vaccine Information Center. She was telling the truth and saying it's not going to be any worse than usual. We tested Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Security. She was lying. We tested Kathleen Sebelius, who's the head of
The CDC.
I'm getting those two mixed up, Health and Human Services and Homeland Security. So Napolitano's Homeland Security. Both of them are lying. And we've posted their vocal prints showing clearly that they knew this was not at the level that they said it was going to be. So we decided we're going to go around this. I'm not going to fight it. We're going to go around them. We're going to create another system for people so we don't have to compete with them and they don't have to come after us and say we're bad people or and throw us in jail or whatever.
And this is important just in the fact that you can test and find out the liars, right?
Yes, that's an easy one. Their E and A sharp don't match in their voice. And we have a whole class about how to tell who's lying. So that's an important aspect of this, too. But we gave away the flu stuff, and I think we stopped a lot of the flu stuff, you know, the manifestation, because it was one of the lightest flu years that ever was.
Well, there was definitely a concerted effort on people in alternative media, I know, trying to get people educated on the fact of what was going on with those vaccinations. But it didn't mean that they, you know, I had a brother that had cancer, and I saw one of his medications is thalidomide, and I'm going, they're not bringing out stuff that's been on the shelf for years, are they? And just dumping it? It just made me wonder.
It looks like it. And look what they said first. Pregnant women have to go first. Thousands of spontaneous abortions. They didn't care. It wasn't their child or their grandchild. We're being used as guinea pigs, and it's got to stop. And that's why I put the system together to share all of this software with people. I want people to join our Guardians of the Network.
Well, let me ask you something. When you were bringing out these different, the niacin, calcium, linoleic acid and the like, were they coming out in the doses that you usually see in the vitamins, or are they even close to what the body utilizes them at? Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They couldn't process it. Either they were gone or they couldn't process it. So okay. We found the sister frequencies that allowed them to process this information. And when we gave people charts about this, and what did, if this, then that, we tried to design this so it was all self-instructional, self-serving with it. And we really helped a lot of people, and I loved it that we could do that. But what we really needed was a traveling team, 20 traveling teams, that could go around the country and really do this for people.
Mm-hmm.
There are just not enough trained people to go around. And that's why we're trying to take it to mainstream and what's happening. But it's like pulling teeth to get people to accept any of this, even when we're in their face showing them what's happening. Here's a good example that happened with the firefighters of 9/11. We happen to have a practitioner, and one of her uncles was working in that hole in Ground Zero. So we went in and tested people and found out what was causing the fireman's cough. And we could shut it off with a frequency. And so I called up the CDC, Center for Disease Control. I said, hey, I know this is an issue. We haven't gone through FDA, but this stops the cough. At least talk to us. And can't go through the FDA. Don't even talk to me about it. We don't want to hear about what you're doing. They just thought we were nutballs. So about two nights later at home, about 11 o'clock, I got a call. And she said, I heard your presentation, your plea to the CDC, and I want to tell you I've made arrangements for you to see the head of the firemen's union. If you can get yourself and your crew to New York, they're willing to listen to what you have to say. Now, if we can take away the fireman's cough, they didn't care if it went through the FDA. So we go, we do this, we show them what's happening. We also find another frequency that's early age onset breast cancer in a lot of these secretaries that was in this building. And so here we are with the frequencies, and I'm a nonprofit, small company. And the head of this union, his name was Joe something. I can't remember his last name. He said, absolutely, we want you to come back, and we want you to assess all 17,000 firefighters.
There was that many there?
There was that many people that were involved. Well, you look at all the different shifts. 17,000 people. But they wanted us to provide the equipment, to provide the hotel, to provide the people on our dime. And
really?
To do that many people, that was like 4 years of my budget, my complete budget. And I couldn't do it. And they could not release the money to be used for something that had not been FDA approved. So look at the billions of dollars that have been spent on people's lungs that were ruined. And age onset breast cancer has increased something like 76%. We could have stopped it. Had we got people to listen, we had the data, a very small piece of data, but if people had just looked at this as functional medicine, as people getting well, or the fireman's, the cough stopping, we were just too new.
Okay, are you talking to anybody in Fukushima?
Yes.
Okay, are they a little more open to your help?
They don't want to admit it publicly in any way that they were cause of harm to anyone. They are so afraid, and this is just two particular whistleblowers, they are so afraid that they are going to get blamed and sued that they are just kind of in a stupor.
Oh, that's sad.
as to what to really embrace. So I don't know what all to do about it.
Okay, but when you read their voices. Sorry.
Sorry.
When you read their voices, are these people that are gonna? Is it gonna make any difference whether they get sued or not? I mean,
They're scared.
Well, I know they're scared, but what I'm saying is, they've already been exposed to the point that, you know, they may not have such a long lifespan anyways. Or,
well, I think that's what people are looking at. It's not going to really come down for 5, 6, 10 years. And by that time, it's going to be too late because it's going to be in the bones and bone cancer. There needs to be something done about it now. People need to get their head out of the sand and do something about it now. We gave away 10,000 copies of the radiation exposure software to Japan. They didn't want it. It would prove that there was exposure. They didn't want it. So there's an underground movement there that's using the software and kind of keeping quiet about it. But my idea when this happened with 9/11 was I went to the NIH, the National Institute of Health, and I said, this is what we can do. Look at this data. And we did some things with fibromyalgia and showed them how we could get pain away from people who had muscle pain, and they were astounded. But they told me, don't you tell anybody you can do this. Nobody's going to believe you that you can diagnose and treat. And so they're the big wigs, so I shut my mouth, and I didn't say much, and we didn't go to the public. But about a year later, they asked me if I would apply for a grant, and it looked like it had been specially written for us. And it was incredible. And it was about Parkinson's and predicting Parkinson's disease. And it's something that I had showed them that we could do. And okay, that person's going to have Parkinson's within 10 years. And that person's going to have cancer within 3 years. And we can see that in the voice. So we applied for this grant. And a few months later, we got a letter back saying, you didn't even make it to the first rung. Sorry. But less than a year later, a very large pharmaceutical company published a project using our information, using the same equipment.
So they stole it, huh?
But they did.
Oh,
and when I called them up and I said, you know, this is atrocious, they said, anything you turn into us becomes public domain. I wasn't stupid enough to give them everything and how to really do it. So this company now has sold off that division to some called Cogstate in Australia. But it was a vocal profiling division of Pfizer Pharmaceutical. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the air.
I don't know why not. But,
well, they got lots of money to sue me if they'd like.
Well, you know, I we're dead meat anyways. So why don't we kind of... I mean, we have all these people running around and afraid of this and afraid of that, and I'm going, okay, do you want to die now or do you want to die later? You know, I mean, when are we going to stand up and realize that it's about doing something now, not later? But we keep wanting to put it off. They're pushing us. They're not going to stop. And for those that want to put their head in the sand, fine. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard someone make the comment that, you know, I'm not going to live through this. Well, none of us are going to live through it. But the problem is what are you going to do about it? You want to just, I mean, does this, do you have, you know, no sense of dignity or sense of wanting to live a good life? Do you just want to just cower down to someone? Because that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, you look at fluoride in the water to dumb you down. You look at HDTVs to dumb you down and make you compliant. You look at vaccinations and literature that's total lies and scanners and radiation. And in Chicago now, you're not allowed to pack your child's lunch. You have to eat the school lunch. What are they putting in that? There is just so much going on, and I feel like people are being herded like cattle off the range into this really teeny tiny spot so they can just pound them in the head and kill them quicker. So that's why we have created this Guardian Network. It is an alternative health system, and it works. We have a journal. We have videos. We have doctors who work with us. We have proven our worth and what we can do. I'll go on YouTube and look under Sound Health and see the reversal of Parkinson's tumors and the reversal of multiple sclerosis and the reversal of asthma and autism and on and on and on.
So a lot of these allergies, I mean, because you do have a section on your website that gets into the thing with allergies. And when you're, when somebody turns up with these different allergies, do you find that they're, you know, particularly, I mean, you may be allergic to one or two things, and then as people go along, they start being allergic to a lot of things. What do you usually start addressing when you see someone like that?
We address what their computer program tells us to address, whether it's threonine, which lines the gut, and leaky gut can really cause a problem with allergies, because the food stuff leaks through the gut wall and clogs at the foreign material and sets up antibodies to it. So that's one of the first things we look at is leaky gut. We also look at allergies like eggs and milk and wheat and vaccines and try to undo that. Like we had a lady we did an appointment with today, and she had stiff man syndrome, which, you know, she sets and she gets stiff and her toes won't work. And in looking at what was going on with her, one, she can't process glycine, so we would supplement either trimethyl or dimethyl glycine with her, but we also could find out that it was genetic. And the other thing is she had a high intolerance to gluten, so we're going to take her off gluten. And the biggest thing, though, was she had a tetanus bacteria in her body.
Okay, you broke up a little bit on that. And when you before you finish saying that too, what do you think about people detoxing so that they lose that intolerance too?
Yes, I'll answer that. The tetanus was giving her lockjaw. That was what was causing this stiff joints with her. So we detox her from the tetanus. We detox people from the vaccinations. We allow their body to use glutathione. The DPT shot, the diphtheria tetanus, really messes up your ability to use vitamin A. And here's a biggie. They've never tested and never told anybody. Men over 60 are coming to us in large amounts. I want to say in droves, but it's not really in droves, just a lot of them. And they have peripheral neuropathy. They can't feel their fingers or feet. And once we detoxify them from the measles antigen, then the peripheral neuropathy goes away.
Okay, so what you're saying, they're getting the very thing that people were getting tetanus shots is really what's causing the lockjaw? Is that right?
In some people, they can't process the vaccination. They can't make the antibodies, so the tetanus begins to manifest lockjaw, which is, it's more than a jaw. You know, it's mm-hmm. any muscle in the body it can attack. My mother had lockjaw when she was young from a DPT episode, and her lower leg bent up and just stayed bent for about 6 months. She couldn't move it. They didn't know what was going on then. I mean, she was in her 80s. And that was so 60 years ago. They really didn't know what was going on. So we detoxify people from food allergies. One of the things we try to do with people is test them. And there's a lot on our site right now because we did a show about allergies. And we invited the public and allowed them to attend for free on how to test themselves for allergies. And we also have a radio show about it. Those are online, on-demand classes.
Okay, now you are on the micro effect on Mondays from what?
Yes, from 2 to 5 Eastern Time. And then we have a Sunday show on Blog Talk Radio called Sound Health Options. But if people download this little nano voice, and there is an article there called The Rabbit Passage, got the word rabbit in it. So they read that rabbit passage into their microphone, test their voice, and maybe drink some Diet Pepsi. And then maybe 10 minutes later, read that rabbit passage again. And the distance or the differences between those two passages will tell them whether or not they're allergic to what's in Pepsi, or if it's Diet Pepsi, if it's aspartame, aspartame is the note of D, so the note of D would go sky high. But you can test yourself for allergies at home, many things during the day. You don't need to go to the doctor. No, I can't say that. The doctor's going to charge you thousands of dollars to do this. So the other one that we've been... Go ahead.
So that's the equivalent of what some of them use, kinesiology in a sense, but it's...
Yes.
Okay. All right.
There's also an article, GMOs, genetically modified organism, and its effect on the health crisis. We have found out when these seeds were modified to make them impervious to Roundup, they took out proline modified glutathione. And glutathione is what allows the body cells to talk to each other. So in this article, and I'll send it to you so you can give it on to your people, or they can find it on our site if they'd like, it shows the relationship of eating wheat and rye and barley, and also carrots, beets, corn, and soy are involved in the United States. They haven't allowed the wheat in the U.S., but they have allowed the rye and the wheat in Australia. This is where this original study was done that we took some of our data from and tested it. But it's a cause of leaky gut. It's a cause of celiac disease and Crohn's disease. And that's where your allergies start, in the tissues, the lining tissues, even your nose. And in looking at, here's a nice one. In looking at environmental allergy seasons, there are frequencies coming from the planets and bombarding the earth all the time. And they're cyclical in a year, and then every day there is a frequency. There's a 30-day cycle, a 24-hour day cycle, and they relate to astrology. How did those ancient people figure out those frequencies and what was coming to the earth? It's just unbelievable. But in allergy season, in April, the frequency that is coming to the earth is histidine.
Interesting.
And it's a flare of allergies. Antihistamine is what they stuff up your nose and give you pills.
Uh-huh.
But it's those frequencies coming from outside of our planet. You know, and there's times when fibrin is high. And I'd like to do a correlation study. Okay, is there more heart attacks because fibrin makes for thicker blood? And here, Epstein-Barr, we just passed through a phase of Epstein-Barr. And there's phases of inability to process cholesterol. And people think they're ill and they don't know why. And it's really environmental. And we have a way to test that. We do these online evaluations for people. And they're free. They can go to Happy Hour. It's every other Tuesday. And they can go to our website, soundhealthoptions.com, and just click on Happy Hour. That'll give them an invitation. And they can see how this happens. And they can see the note of the day, what we call a keynote, so they can know what to look for the next few days. So we try to give people all of this information in the most economical way, starting with that free Nano Voice, and then the monthly meetings, which people pay $40 for a two-hour class in the software. And then they can go to the big professional class that's a week long. It's online if they don't want to come and visit us, but they're welcome to. And we help them set up their professional businesses. Right now we're setting up businesses for something called BioDiet, because there was a big study done on the master switch for obesity, and we decoded all that into frequencies. We're running trials on it this week, and we're going to release those frequencies and try to help people lose weight.
Okay, now with this, is this similar to the SCIO machines, or a different setup altogether?
My official statement about the SCIO is that I'd have to refer that to my attorney.
Okay, they're not alike, or is it just the way the mechanics and people involved and all that?
The stuff about vocal profiling, mm-hmm, in that particular machine is there illegally.
Okay. All right.
And their answer to my, you don't have any right to this, is so sue me. And when I talked to them face to face, I got drugged through the aisle in of a place, and it was not pleasant. So okay. My attorney says, you just refer the stuff to me. I have seen great stuff done with Esquio, and I have seen just absolute trash. But I think the great stuff that's being done, most of what's in there shouldn't be.
Well,
of what's in there is somebody else's work.
Well, my interpretation of what I viewed with them what had more to do with it depended upon the person running the machine and
yes.
whether and their abilities, and that could really vary.
Operator dependent.
Right. So and that was also part of my problem with why I never really got, and I've been trained in kinesiology, but I had a problem with it when I watched how it was so interpretive of the person. Now, if it's a person doing their own, that's okay. But when you have somebody else doing, I was finding that could be really relative too, right?
See, I can't do my own, but I can do somebody else's. So I don't believe myself about me.
Well, I didn't get too involved in it because I really felt that was suggestive. But what it sounds like, what you're doing, even though yours is interpretive from your own experience growing up, that the computer has been able to take that and prove what you were doing, right?
Yes, and duplicate it, and it's punching buttons. I mean, there's an art to it when you try to decide which frequencies are important to use, but we even have a computer program that does that now. We had a case last week of a lady that was in a rest home, and she was in a state of dementia, and it was all of a sudden, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Well, her myoglobin was really, really high. She had had a series of mini strokes, M-I-N-I strokes, and the clots and stuff were so small they couldn't see it. And with just aspirin therapy, she was okay again. But we can look beyond conventional medicine because we're looking at the frequencies, the numbers, and numbers always make sense. One in one is two in every language. And if we look at your chart and it says, 7 and 2 is 14, we're in trouble. We know that you have an immune system problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put the pieces back. You've heard of Mikhail or Kaku? Mikhail Kaku?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he and his group, and this is modern string theory, say that DNA, we're all made of this infinitesimal small strings, and that's our DNA, but they haven't the slightest idea how to make that DNA behave. We know how to make it behave. It's based on magnetic potential. And we were talking about all the different levels of the frequencies in the body. Well, there is magnetic potential in the relationship between 1 and 2 and that whole series of numbers. And we're able to grow new kneecaps, reattach a retina that has happened, teeth have grown back, hair has grown back, joints, looking at bacteria, because we look at this grid that's 16 by 16, and it's like a Rubik's Cube. And if your colors are all screwed up, then that's disease. And we're looking at those colors in terms of frequency, and we give our body the right frequency. The skin and the ear take it in. It redistributes it somehow in the brain, and your body heals itself.
So you can really work with the genetic code and whatever with this frequency is what I think I'm interpreting what you're saying, right?
If you look at some of our postings, some of our profiles, there's a little girl named April. She's 6, and she did have Down syndrome. Even though that genetic tendency is still in her body, the rounded forehead is gone, the slanted eyes are gone, the stumpy fingers are gone, she can jump up in the air, she can do genetics, and she couldn't even jump off the ground. We don't know what we can do. People appear at our door and we try.
Uh-huh. So do you have people that you've trained that can really, I mean, that are really have accomplished all that you've tried, you know, that you've worked with? I mean, that can just pretty much replicate your work.
It's in the computer.
Right.
And we have classes every week for our practitioners. This is how you work with pain. This is how you work with cancer. This is how you predict cancer. And on and on and on. We try to keep everyone up and dated.
You can get rid of pain?
Oh, we've got one a practitioner that's her specialty. She lives in Columbus, Ohio, and she travels also to see people.
Uh-huh.
Look at some of these videos. They're hard to believe until you see the interviews with the doctors. We've recently put up two new videos, one called Breaking the Sound Barriers of Disease, which gives a lot of the background that we've talked about here today, but what we've talked about goes well beyond that film. It took them a year to do it. And the other one is Miracles of Non-Medicine, and it is the doctors talking about, okay, she was able to help me take away warts. She was able to reconstruct my leg. She was able to take away my tremors. She helped take away prostate cancer. She took away asthma. She gave me my voice back. Actually, it's not me. It's the frequency. Like, we have something called Revoice, which when people have a stroke and they lose their voice, this gives their voice back to them. I mean, and looking at this video, it was within a day that she got her voice back.
Well, in a sense, when you were describing earlier about having something else that was that synchronized with someone was the equivalent of what I would think was laying on of hands.
Very, very similar. Okay. If people can get out of the way, it just kind of happens. When we've tested people doing Reiki, we've tested their voice before and after. And before, they're different people. And after, they're kind of a combined of both of them. And they're transferring their energies. This has been around a long, long time. Like, is frequency our new medicine or an ancient mystery revealed?
I have every aspect of thinking that this has been around a long, long time. We're just, we used to deal with witches, you know. Now it looks like we're headed back in that direction. If they keep up with the Codex Alimentarius, if we don't have this and are allowed to have it, then, I mean, this is going to be an answer where, you know, if we don't have access to some of the herbs or the weeds or the knowledge about how to use them, then, you know, this may, you know.
We can do it by frequency. We can turn in aspirin in our little box and give it to you. We can turn in, the things we recently did was give somebody an antibiotic. And they got a vaginal infection just as if they had taken the penicillin, which was kind of a strange side effect. But, you know, it kills off the good bacteria with the bad. But this has its roots absolutely in ancient literature. When you look at the Bible and you see that the healing codes, and Lynn Horowitz uses some of these, in those relationships of 3, 6, and 9, well, we have built pyramids of 3, 6, and 9, and that's the way we were using the formulas in the beginning, and we really got a lot of results at the time. But then one day we were looking at these pyramids that we had put together in this configuration of 3, 6, and 9, and it was throwing a shadow on the whiteboard, and it was a shadow of the Templar cross. It was a certain way that you set these pyramids that they created the Templar cross.
So
we started using the formulations, the geometry of the Templar cross. Boy, and that's when the work took off. And I think when a society came in to conquer another society, and they took their religion and their healing and their language and whatever, I think somebody hid those ideas in the big pyramid and the two smaller ones and how they fit together. But it was really the shadow that gave us the ideas. And that Templar cult, or not really cult, Templar caste, that is it King Philip tried to annihilate in the 13th and 14th century, they were responsible for keeping the health of people and keeping them safe in their travels. and they could do magical things, or so it says, if you want to read some of the literature, and then Dan Brown's The Symbol and the Da Vinci Code. I think that symbol is that those pyramids put together that creates the shadow of the Templar cross. But I think those Templars somehow injected that information into our genetics. There are people who come to our classes and sit there and try all through it. This is God work. I feel like I'm coming home.
Well, one of the I hope we're starting. Wants to cut out for some reason. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is, if this is the case, would this not purify water?
We have been working on that and charging water. We put out stuff for Corexit antidotes, and Hutchinson went down to the Gulf and used pretty nearly the same frequency. It was just a different octave, like 220 and 440.
Mm-hmm.
So those articles are available on our website also. So the frequencies for Corexit. Here's a piece of an aside. Corexit is the activator for dengue fever. And as soon as all that Corexit came up, dengue fever on the western side of Florida flared.
Mm-hmm.
So they're activated. Here's another piece I want to tell people about because it makes me outrageously mad. The Gardasil shots that they're trying to force on young women and young men. We're in a rural area, so they think we're stupid. And they came into the schools and tried to force these kids.
Charge them for it, too.
Yeah, well, now there's some place that's giving the kids iPods if they'll take a shot. But anyway, this Gardasil frequency, man-made, but it is the activator for the swine flu. So they were shooting people up so that they could activate the swine flu and make it a harder or a bigger thing. That's despicable.
Okay, when they were having some of those girls get sick and possibly even die, what was happening there? Was their body just rejecting the activator, or were they coming down with or picking up the swine flu as well?
I didn't examine any of them, so I don't really know the answer to that. I've read a lot of the literature. One, that the woman who invented it came out and said it didn't work anyway, and she didn't understand why they even used it. You know, and recanted the same week. I don't know who she paid off. Well, why would she say that in the first place? But Gardasil is for women to keep from getting cervical warts. And they were giving it to our 11-year-olds, men, boys and girls alike in our school. We threw an absolute fit. But they thought nobody was going to fight them in rural, dumb areas or in poor city areas. So education is the clue here. And banding together. From those of you who know you've worked on this before, there's a book out, Sylvia Franck, The Tree of Life and the Holy Grail. And she talks about this frequency work and particularly mentions bioacoustics and Sherry Edwards and says this, that I'm a modern keeper of the Holy Grail information. So if you want the real stuff, then join the Guardian Network or at least go look at our website. It's all there for people if they want it. And a lot of people who come to our classes, it sort of just oozes in there. They don't have to really learn it. They knew it some other place, and they're just remembering.
So how did you get together with the ability to do this computer, you know, the software and all that? What came about that you were able to start setting this this up and utilizing it?
I'm from poor, poverty-stricken Ohio, Appalachia. And so I wanted to go to school and wanted to do this and wanted for people to listen. And so I started working at the university. And one class at a time, I got my undergraduate degree. It took me 12 years. And I started doing the research. And my research project for my undergraduate degree in interpersonal communication was about these frequencies. And I called them essential silent perceptors. And about how people's personalities are set and how we interact with each other. And I asked the universe, I said, if this is going to happen, I need a sign of what is going to make all of this work and what I need to do. And two of my children were hurt, and it paved the way. My daughter, who was, I think, about 13 at the time, and chunky, overweight, about 80 pounds, we were out in this old swimming pool in the backwoods, and we were swinging on this Tarzan swing about 12, 15 feet up in the air, and she swung out, and she was too heavy to hold on the rope, and she dropped before she got to the deep water, and she landed on her knees, and when I got to her, her leg was hanging off to one side, the bottom part of it, and we were so far from help, I knew I was going to watch my daughter die. And so I ducked her back down under the water so she couldn't see her leg was hanging off. And I grabbed a red shirt from somebody and wrapped it really tight around her leg and had people help me get her to the shore. And I started doing the sounds. And she was okay. And we sent for an ambulance, no cell phones at that point. And they got there. And they looked at this and they put a splint around it. And she hadn't bled two tablespoons. And they put her in this basket, and they swam her across the river, put her in this ambulance, and I'm behind them, and I'm still doing my sounds. I think I was in shock because I'm no good in an emergency. So we get to the emergency room, and I'm still doing these sounds, and these people knew me because I had taught laying on of hands healing and that kind of thing to them through the university. And they said, Sherry, you can let go of the sound, but you don't have to be doing the sounds. And as I let go, my daughter started to scream in the back room. She had split the bone 7 inches down vertically. She had torn everything apart except one little part of the artery. They don't know why she didn't bleed to death. She was in the hospital for 49 days, 3 operations. They couldn't understand why she didn't bleed to death. And then people started saying, well, Sherry was there singing to her. And I thought, if I could ever keep any parent from not having to watch their child die, I'm willing to commit my life to that. And I want to invent and have, to a certain degree, a little thing called Sonic Apothecary. And it has the frequencies of Digitalis and Stopping Blood and Bee Sting and other things on it. If I can offer that to the world, I can't imagine anything worse than being helpless and not being able to help your parent breathe or your child recover. That's what I want for the world. And so I ask, are there people here who are willing to help? Please send them to me. Please, let's get together. And there was a wonderful person named Ron Yonda, and he came up with a computer program that helped us, just out of nowhere. And then other people started coming forward, and they were committed to doing this, and they didn't charge me anything except that I would work on with them and show them how to do it and teach it. The world of those visionaries and those enlightened people were ready, and the time is now for the rest of us to learn to do this so we can show the world it can be done with a computer, and then we can really go back to doing it through listening to our own otoacoustic emissions and doing it for ourselves.
How did you know?
It's real.
How did you know what sounds to make?
It just comes to me. Sometimes if there's a baby that is comatose, and we did this in hospitals, I just ask God. I said, just give me the sound. And I do. And there's a study in one of our journals that shows that the sound I make is one of 24 sounds that the computer picks off of the vocal print 100% of the time. And a lot of the times, it matches the otoacoustic emission. Now, Johns Hopkins University is using otoacoustic emissions to predict problems with the liver, the pancreas, and the kidneys. So they're doing that science part of it, and I'm down here in Appalachian, poverty-stricken, no education kind of place, and I'm doing it because it works. I'm doing it because my ears are mutated. I'm doing it because it's time. I'm doing it because God gave me the talent, and I love sharing it. But I'm a hermit at heart. I'll go on radio shows. I'll talk to people about this. I'll share the information with people. I'll show them the classes. I'll do the research. But I'm very honored to be the spokesperson for this because I think the world is ready. I think the universe is ready. Because this is going to allow us to go into outer space because we can help NASA with brittle bones and muscle mass atrophy. We don't have to be afraid of that anymore. And those two big detriments to space travel. So the government doesn't have to keep trying to kill us off because now we can go travel in space and exploration. Because this frumpy little housewife in Ohio had this mutated ear that she wanted to know what it really wanted, what it really meant. I just wanted to prove I wasn't schizophrenic. It just turned out to be something wonderful for the world.
Well, that's just amazing. And so if people want to learn this, I mean, is this like you're not doing this for like a degree thing. This is something that they can just, you know, get on to Sound Health and get involved and start learning, right? Or
absolutely. What? And it's all self-taught, or they can come to a class if they want to. We have turned very few people down.
Okay.
That wanted to do this. And a lot of it's free. They can start free. They can build their business to larger and larger. They can integrate it into other businesses. We have a center in San Francisco that has a beam ray and Reiki and a lot of other things along with bioacoustics. And by the way, they're doing radiation exposure testing for people. If they want to get in touch with the Life Light Center, any of those people in L.A. who are being exposed, and it's run by James Marshall's wife. He played on A Few Good Men and Gladiators and Twin Peaks. And his wife, Renee, has opened a center because we helped her husband when he took Accutane and was so debilitated. So the Life Light Center's phone number is 805-449-9299. Wait, I'm going to have to turn a light on to see what that says. I think it's 9299.
Okay, it's 805. Say that again.
805-449-9299. The Life Light Center.
Now, are you getting many international people showing an interest in this?
We're getting more international people than we are U.S. people.
Because when I called, I think I was talking to somebody that was saying that you guys were in New Zealand. Am I right?
New Zealand, Australia, Netherlands. Germany just tried to buy in. Japan just tried to, before all of this happened, tried to buy in. Well, tried to buy the whole place. But I did not want to see the health of every person controlled by another country. This belongs to the people. This doesn't belong to the government, although they might come in and say this is security and so we're going to take it. But we've got such an underground built already that people can join. They're not going to kill this. So if people are interested in being part of it, go to that site and look up Guardians of the People and read what we're trying to do. We're trying to put your health back into your hands to provide you the power, not the government says, oh, well, you're too old. You can't have that care. Or you're too damaged. You can't have that medication. I never want that to happen to anyone.
Would this happen to tie in with life extension?
Absolutely. With Sandy and Dirk? Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you know them, huh?
Yes. We have a program called Rejuvenation, and so we have the frequencies to whiten your teeth. We have the frequencies for resveratrol. We have the frequencies for stem cells. We have the frequencies to anti-age your cells.
So you can learn to do this to yourself and to extend your life. Is that what you're
saying? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if I was any good at it now, I would not have a grungy, croupy, cruddy cough. But I can't work on myself, and I can't find anything in my vocal print that would tell me that this is a cold or sinus. But I'll have to admit what I really did. I ate yogurt. I am highly allergic to milk protein. And somebody brought some strawberry chocolate frozen yogurt to the office. And I was a pig, and now I'm paying.
Ah. So, you can use, do an allergy test then. Is the equivalent, and you don't even have to leave your home, and somebody could diagnose you from long distance and tell you, you know, what you're allergic to, what, you know, it's probably can do a lot, do a psychoanalysis of you. Is that, that's what I'm hearing you state, from long distance, right?
Yes, we can do it on the telephone. We can do it right on your computer. I just did a woman this morning that had Parkinson's. I told you about the stiff man disease that she had, and we were able to tell what enzymes were causing it. So we give that information back to her physician. We call these management reports, give that information back to who is helping her, and we just go from there and we try to support them. On the front of our website, there is an article there. It's a radio review with Parkinson's recovery. And a couple of doctors there talking about the technique that we use to get rid of Parkinson's tremors. Nobody has to have those tremors anymore.
So, I mean, there's so many, I mean, everything's going to be tied to this. I mean, your moods, your emotions, your
diet, your whether or not you gain weight. The bio diet program, Nikki, who is ahead of that, lost 78 pounds on the bio diet program by finding out that her body could not process GABA. Now, what diet plan tells you you can't process GABA? And as soon as we got her body up and running, she just started losing weight because it identified what the program was. And we want people to join us with just one software, they can open their business. What software do people want? Eyes or heart or insulin or seizures or Alzheimer's or cholesterol or allergies or adrenal burnout or venom? You know, well, that one we probably should keep to ourselves. We don't want people killing people with it. But
well, ultimately, I mean, you don't even have to start a business with this. I mean, you could, this would be something that would be a whole lot cheaper in the long run than health insurance in many respects. Except, I mean, don't get me wrong that doctors and hospitals and stuff don't do, you know, but this, you know, this to me is, you know, again, the equivalent of being able to eat, to supplement that with a good diet. You shouldn't have to need, you know, a lot of the expense for the other.
That's what we want, but that's also what we're not allowed to say, because we would lose drug companies' money. We would lose food companies' money and big pharma and agriculture.
I mean, we'd get rid of the things we don't want in the first place?
Well, look at the struggle, even to get genetically modified foods labeled. They're refusing, and they're reason is, well, people wouldn't buy it if it had that label on it. Well, darn right. But this article was talking about that we just wrote on GMO foods proves that GMO foods cause Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. Now, people who go ahead and eat those foods and they're not labeled, there's got to be a law against that.
Okay, now, this is where the Emoto theory and whatever comes in. Now, whether you talk about the prayer and the like, but then again, could you not test your foods and change its frequency so that it wasn't antagonistic to intake?
Well, not a lot of people are that strong, but that's what prayer is about, I think. And epigenetics that Bruce Lipton talks about, we can do it all with our mind. But if you are riddled with Parkinson's, that's hard to concentrate on that.
Right. But if you had that, if somebody had that program and you were had access to it and whatever, then you could probably just go through your kitchen? Or do you have to tune it into each individual food?
Well, it depends on your body. Some people are totally allergic to aspartame. Some people aren't. But Bruce Lipton and Lynn McTaggart wrote a book, Beyond the Matrix, and they said there is a frequency field, a matrix in the body. We don't know how to control it, but it's there. And if we can put it in optimal working order, it's not going to respond to that GMO food. But the trick is to get it in that perfect working order first. And that's what we're doing with providing these frequencies for people that are a level of magnetic potential. It makes the DNA behave. It is the reason why the matrix does what it's supposed to do. We are here to support optimal form and function. And then you can probably eat poison and your body would throw it off.
Okay,
if you were perfect.
Okay, so if you really focus on the immune system, then you probably have increased your chances of being able to deal with what we're being exposed to out in the world right now.
Absolutely. Can I give people my email address so if
yeah,
they want
please.
To write to me?
Go ahead.
Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, sherryonair@gmail.com. And I'd be glad to answer your questions for you.
Well, and I want to say, you know, thank you very much for coming on the program. And if there's any closing thoughts or what you want to add to some of the information for the audience, you know, feel free because, you know, this is about information. And I'm certainly open to get it out to the public. And I still see this as, just groundbreaking.
This was absolutely full of information, and I'm so appreciative that you would give me this much time to talk to your people. And I would like to see people in droves go to Guardians of the People and get involved and bring this to their community. That's what needs to happen if we're going to create this alternative health system and leave Obamacare in the dirt over there, and we don't even have to pay any attention to their dictates. We don't need them anymore.
Well, and that's the whole thing is the future is, you know, if we take action and take it upon ourselves so that, I mean, there are those that are trying to grow their own gardens and try to, you know, eat raw foods and things that, you know, improve, you know, over the process. Stuff that we're being inundated with, and I'm just hoping that we can just add this to our arsenal of information and what we can do to help, take our the matters in our own hands.
That would be awesome. The idea of self health, and in addition to that, health for the people, by the people.
And again, Sherry, I want to thank you, and I hope to do this again sometime and follow up and see. And I do have another radio program, so we may even try that one if you're up for it. So, again, I want to thank you.
That would be great. I would be honored.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very
much. Speak with your people.
Okay, Sherry. Thank you again, and your website again is soundhealth.org, and
it's Sound Health Options. .org.
Well,
no, .com, I'm sorry. Soundhealthoptions.com.
But there's also Sound Health. Oh, well, it says Sound Health Options on your site, but it's http://soundhealth.org soundhealth.org as well. And so.
That's an old site, but it will jump into the new one.
Is that what it is? Okay. Well, that's what came up on my computer.
Yeah, they're just putting in all the new stuff. We've got a wonderful new web designer.
Oh, wonderful. Well, again, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for allowing us to be with you.
Okay. Good night.
Bye now.